Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. I know Jackson Dart had a wonderful weekend. I know Giant fans had a wonderful weekend. I know the New York Yankee fan had a wonderful weekend. You didn't win the division, but man, you tried and left it all out there, and you're going to start the playoffs in 48 hours. And we will get to Jackson Dart and Malik Nabers' injury and what happened at MetLife Stadium yesterday that feels very game-changing-like. But first, we offer congratulations. We congratulate maybe the most gutless, most spineless, a team that brought us maybe the biggest black mark in the history of the New York Mets. We congratulate the 2025 New York Mets for doing the impossible. All the talent in the world, an owner willing to spend, a team president who's the smartest man in the room. Congratulations on somehow, some way, taking 21 games above 500, taking a garbage bottom of the National League, and somehow finding a way to screw their fans one last time. Congratulations. And you did it artistically. Most of the players didn't even know they did it artistically. You went to Miami. You lost on a Friday. You won on a Saturday with an utterly brilliant pitching performance, and then you drop the deuce on a Sunday afternoon? Oh, my God. Your parents would be so proud. You did it. You put another insanely embarrassing black mark on the history of the New York Mets, and I can't say I'm surprised. I can't say anyone's surprised. We all saw it coming. It all felt inevitable, and here we are, the day where we get to bury one of the biggest disgraces in New York sports, the 2025 Mets. Hi, Teak!
Hey, what's happening?
Yo, what's
up? That was embarrassing,
yeah,
to say the least,
yeah,
regarding the New York Mets.
And yeah.
I mean, I feel... There were days during my playing career where I'd have a day. I'd like just go out and I'd crush it. It'd be awesome. I'd feel so good about myself. And then the Yankees would be on the back page.
Mm.
That's today.
Is it?
The Jackson Dart era began. And
yes.
It was awesome.
Yes.
I was there. I was in the house. I chatted with Dave's after. It was awesome.
Yep.
And it's buried.
I know.
Your Mets suck. Your Mets can't find a way to get out of their own damn way in a game where everything was given to them by everybody else. The Brewers, nothing to play for. We're going to beat the Reds for you, right? The Marlins, nothing to play for. How in the hell do you go scoreless, feckless, gutless?
Yes.
Embarrassing.
Yes.
Embarrassing.
Embarrassing. I'm embarrassed.
It's what I've said for the last month now about this team, Evan. There are individuals that are amazing on this team. As a unit, though, they are not good.
And that's what's so tough to explain.
It's impossible to explain because it doesn't make sense.
It does not
Baseball
make sense.
Baseball is an individual collective sport. So if you have individuals that are great collectively, you should be great.
Yeah.
somehow they find ways not to be.
You know, I think what's so difficult is even though I sat here with you and really for the last few weeks told you, I don't think we're going to make it. It wasn't something I felt all year. It wasn't something I felt after June 13th. It was something that was more recent. We all realized what this team was at different times.
Right.
I was just talking to Sal about it as we were transferring shows. For Sal, it was a few days ago. For me, it was a couple of weeks ago. We all got there at a different place. And even though we expected it to end badly, when it happens, when you're sitting there in your living room, TV room, wherever the hell you were consuming this, it's like shocking even though it's not shocking.
Yeah.
And that's the feeling I still have about 22 hours later. I'm stunned, but I'm not stunned. And what's so depressing about the whole thing is that you spend all year watching a team, all year hoping, all year believing, and all year, even when things are going bad, saying, you know what, just make the playoffs, and you can be dangerous. Baseball's a crazy game. And to have it all end like that, to have it all go away instantly, it's a very depressing feeling as a fan.
Yeah, it's a whimper.
No doubt. And now you pick up the pieces trying to figure out why and how and what to do next. But I'm not even ready to have that conversation. I'm still kind of in shock that this actually happened, that the New York Mets, and this is why I'm kind of mad at you, Teak.
Why? What did I do?
Because you lecture me all the time. You say, Evan, I understand you're a scarred sports fan. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But history means nothing. The New York Mets somehow repeated 2007 and 2008 almost to a T.
Right, but almost worse.
I mean, in a lot of ways, it is worse. Yeah. I argue it is worse. I think history will dictate that. But they lose on a Friday. They win on a Saturday with a spectacular pitching performance. Congratulations to Clay Holmes. You live in the dustpan of Mets history the way John Maine and Johan Santana's Saturdays. And then on Sunday, you get the help you need, and you find a way to get shut out and have your LD offense, sorry, it's an inappropriate term I like to use, completely you-know-what all over itself in watching the season end. And I admit a part of it is bad luck. Like Pete Alonso, and thank you, Pete, because Pete Alonso is the one freaking guy who consistently hit with men on base. No one else can say that about this team this year. Not a damn person. No one. And Pete Alonso comes up with, again, second straight year, a chance to save the Mets season. And what does he do? He hits the ball, Tiki, harder than any ball was hit by a Met all year. But because it's 2025, and because we wasted all our good juju last year on OMG and Grimace, it goes right at the left fielder. And you knew in that moment, oh my God, this is ending badly. And then you had the manager who was way too aggressive, couldn't keep it in his pants. He's going to the bullpen in the second inning, which I thought caught up to him, because eventually you're going to pay the piper, and they did in that disastrous fourth inning. It was all a nightmare. And you're right. I want to apologize. I want to apologize to Jackson Dart. You did nothing wrong, sir. You don't deserve to not have your day. And you'll get plenty of attention throughout the day and tomorrow and the day after. I'm sorry that the pathetic, gutless, spineless Mets had to take attention away from you. I'm sorry. But that's what they did. And for Steve Cohen, who wrote a beautiful letter apologizing, words mean nothing. Let me just say that. Yeah. Words, I say it to my son all the time. You can apologize all you want. Do something about it.
Right. And now the question is he going to do something about it? And he makes it feel, via this apology letter, that there are obvious things, and we all know what those obvious things are, and less obvious things.
I agree with that.
We don't know what those less obvious things are. But if he is going to make changes to some of these less obvious things, he needs to also tell us.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you one thing you could do right away. Since you're a billionaire, don't raise ticket prices on a single person next year. You had 3 million suckers walk through the door this year, and they got rewarded by being punched in the face. So, billionaire Steve, what we would all appreciate is make sure prices stay the same or lowered. Now, you're not going to do that, but at least I can ask. And after that, you're right, Teak, it is complicated on fixing the New York Mets. It's very complicated. But all I know is less than 24 hours after it ended, I am still disgusted. I'm still in shock. And I want to say this to New York Yankee fans, every single one of you. Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. I got no ill will. You're right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
To want to rub our noses in this. You're right. Because Met fans, and I was a part of it, I think to a lesser degree, but Met fans had a lot to say. We opened our mouths. We said a lot of stuff. And the thing about being a sports fan is those receipts are always going to exist. So you have every right, before you get worried and excited about the Red Sox, to absolutely take our noses and stick it in the dirt. Not a Met fan can say a word about it. Because we are losers. We are suckers. We embarrassed ourselves. Everything you say about the 2025 Mets, we have to own. And look, is there a chance that next year everything turns? I hope so. But for now, we got to take our punishment. We are losers like everybody else, and we got to eat it. So thank you to every, specifically David Stearns, the boy genius, who I believe we on this show need to go back to referring to as simply the man from Milwaukee. I think he has re-earned that name that he initially had upon coming here.
The man from Milwaukee.
Thank you, Alex. The man from Milwaukee touched everything and it turned to feces.
Yeah, here's the thing we do know. Nobody's going anywhere from a coaching staff or from a manager, general manager standpoint, right? Steve Cohen is going to retain Mendy.
Let's start right there. Should they retain Mendy, Teague?
Only because the way he managed that game yesterday
was pathetic.
It was horrendously pathetic.
Horrendously pathetic.
100%. And I was barely keeping track of it, but when I saw that Sean Manaea was out after an inning and 2/3. After, not because he got banged around the yard, he had 2 walks.
He walked a guy with an open base. Even Keith Hernandez said on the broadcast, boy, I wouldn't give Roberto Hernandez a pitch to hit with a rookie like Navarrete on deck.
Right.
And after that walk, Mendy strolls out there to take him out?
Right.
That's disgraceful.
It made no sense at all. Now, look, Brazoban got out of it, but at the same time,
you pay the piper.
Dude.
Yes.
What are you doing?
You pay the piper.
You got to go get 23 outs from your bullpen?
So let's start right there. I agree with you, Tiki. Carlos Mendoza's managing in game 162 is pathetic.
Yes.
Should he lose his job?
The reason he can't is that the Mets are in a cycle right now where they are firing managers too quickly.
Mm.
And we saw it with the Giants, right? They went to the New York Giants. They had 2 years. Dave's, we're going to give you 4. You have to break the cycle. You have to. I think Carlos Mendoza is a good manager. I think Carlos Mendoza was fortunate enough in year 1 to have ridiculous success, push all the right buttons, have an emotional clubhouse that just galvanized around one another, OMG, Grimace, whatever the hell was the reason. They got to the NLCS. And in some ways, it felt not easy, but it felt like, man, we have every piece to do this consistently. And then this year, those same instincts didn't work.
Yeah.
Right? Those same decisions. I'm going to throw a Brandon Waddell game out there multiple times. It's just a game. It's one of 162. It doesn't matter. Those instincts backfired on him, just like the success showered him last year. And it's a learning experience, and I would hate for the Mets to just strip it down, turn over the manager for turnover's sake, because you can't fire anybody else, right? You're not getting rid of Lindor. You're not getting rid of Soto. Who knows what Pete Alonso's and Edwin Diaz are going to be. You really can't get rid of Nimmo. Like, you're kind of stuck with who you have. How do you change it? You fire the manager.
Right.
But then you put yourself back in this cycle of 2 years, done. So you can't keep doing that. So, no, he shouldn't be fired.
I agree with you. And I am disgusted by the way he managed game 162. And I think Carlos Mendoza had a horrible season. With that said, a lot of what you said, I agree with. I don't think that's the answer. Now, would I make major changes on the coaching staff? Absolutely.
Right.
In fact, I'm going to get specific. I'm not just going to sit here and say, make some changes. I'll tell you who should be fired, and I'll tell you who should be hired. Because my hiring ideas will excite this Met fan base. I have big ideas on what this team can do that will change this coaching staff, change Carlos Mendoza, light a fire on everyone's ass, and even excite you that just in case things don't work out, someone will take the reins from him. I'll tell you those names coming up. Plus, we'll get to your calls at 888-808-1019. On the day after of another epic collapse in New York Met history. And Giant fans, you won't wait for long. We got a lot to say about their win and the debut as a starter of Jackson Dart. There is a lot going on. Very busy show today. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. We will get to the Giants in a bit. We'll get to your Met phone calls. I'll tell you exactly what they should do to the coaching staff. But a statement was just released from CEO John Mara of the New York Giants. And he says, I have recently been diagnosed with cancer and have been following the treatment plan recommended by an outstanding team of doctors. I'm feeling strong and optimistic, and I'm committed to seeing this through to a positive outcome. I plan to remain active with the team throughout my treatment, and I'm fortunate to be surrounded by incredible support personally, professionally, and medically. I ask that you respect my privacy and my family's privacy at this time.
Yeah, that makes me very sad. Saw John yesterday, and I can only wish him my best and give prayers and thoughts to him and his family.
Amen.
I've known him for a very long time. His family has been unbelievable to me over the years, and this makes me sad.
It should make everybody sad. Cancer is an evil on this planet, and we wish him nothing but the best during this fight. We'll get your calls in a second on the Mets. We'll mix in our opinions on Jackson Dart's debut. I want to get specific with the Met coaching staff. John Gibbons, thank you for your service. You're gone. Danny Barnes, Jeremy Barnes, Eric Chavez, all the hitting coaches, thank you for your service. You're gone. Jeremy Hefner, I'm on the fence about, Teek. I have to be honest with you.
He's the hard one because by the measure of one of the most of the hardest things they had to do this offseason, convert a career reliever into a starting pitcher, it was a success.
Yeah.
Clay Holmes, despite a couple of bad outings, had a really good season. Couldn't get deep in games, but what did you expect from a guy who's never, you know, pitched more than 100 innings in his career? And so that is a success, and you have to credit Hef for that. But there were so many other issues with this rotation.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was performance and how much could he have actually controlled.
That's the thing.
And again, I don't know the ins and outs of pitching coach, pitcher relationships to know what any of them could have done different. You know, maybe the Helsley stuff with the tipping of the pitches, he could have fixed that earlier on.
Well, he did fix it because in his last six appearances, he didn't give up a run.
Right, so like you got to give him credit for the successes, but you also don't know how much of the fault belongs to him because of the lack of performance.
Yeah, but I'm on the fence about Hefner. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Barnes and Eric Chavez as hitting coaches, sorry. I apologize for Danny Barnes getting the shrapnel here. He's a strategy coach. I don't know if he should be back or not. So let me leave him out. The hitting coaches have to be gone. Mike Sarbaugh, you made a couple of bad decisions as third base coach. See you later. Anton Richardson's the only guy I'm passionate about keeping because he did a great job getting everyone to be Ricky Henderson stealing bases. But let me get specific on who should be added to this coaching staff. Number one, Willie Randolph should be added to this coaching staff. Now, I'm not pulling something out of my ass. I'm not just creating something. Willie Randolph was talked about a year ago, 2 years ago, when Mendy first took the job, that he likes Willie, has a relationship with Willie, and thought it would be a good idea to have a guy who's been there before, not just as a manager, but as a longtime coach with the Yankees, join this staff. If Willie Randolph is listening right now, I don't know if you're interested in the job. If you're not, I'm sorry for bothering you, but Willie Randolph should be added to this coaching staff, but I'm not done yet. The other guy who should be added to this coaching staff is Carlos Beltran. Look. Carlos Beltran was going to be the manager of this team. We all know why it didn't happen. He is in this organization. He is close to a lot of players. And for those who feel it's undermining for Beltran to get on this staff, too freaking bad. Too bad.
Why would it be undermining?
Because Beltran is clearly going to breathe down his neck to be the next manager of the team.
Yeah, but
he was the manager 5 years ago until he was ceremoniously fired.
We don't know that he's going to be that way. We don't know that he's going to put pressure on Mindy from whatever role he takes, bench coach, it doesn't matter. But you know that Carlos Mendoza should feel pressure.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I don't care about the pressure or the way it looks.
Right.
You put two guys who I think are very different, both played in New York, one coached and managed in New York.
Right.
The other one was about to manage in New York. I think that those two guys offer such brilliant and different kind of views of this sport that can help. I think those are the two guys to add. And yes, we're all familiar with them and they've got ties to the Mets, but they also have ties to Mendy.
Right.
Mendy knows Willie Randolph. My understanding is he wanted Randolph on this coaching staff. And I guess the man from Milwaukee didn't agree. Well, guess what? Maybe you should change your mind. And the same thing with Carlos Beltran. Those are specifically the two guys that I would add to this coaching staff. And guess what, Carlos? If things don't go well and it's the middle of May, see you later.
Yeah. Well, I mean, something, I don't want to say drastic, but it's probably going to be drastic needs to occur. Because we all know what Steve Cohen's expectations were coming into this season. The focus on the free agency, we saw it. You won the offseason. It giddied up Met fans and made them feel like we can win championships. Hell, they were talking openly about it. Juan Soto was talking openly about it. And as a fan, how could you not look at it and say, hey, man, we actually have a shot here. But Steve Cohen set a baseline, a floor. The floor, this is his exact words, are getting back to the playoffs.
Yep.
They are subterranean right now.
Yes.
They're under the floor. So if you fail that badly that you're under the owner's self-described floor, something has to change.
100%.
And not, yeah, you know, we're going to move these guys. We're going to trade Mark Vientos. We're going to do these little, you know, adjustments to how we use analytics or whatever the heck. This needs to be something drastic for how badly and embarrassing this season ended up being, missing the playoffs.
And here's the great news. This is very different than football, where I get very passionate about firing coaches midseason, how stupid it is.
Right.
Baseball's a different animal. Willie Randolph is an experienced manager. Carlos Beltran was about to be the Mets manager. If they need to make a change in the middle of May, those seem like pretty good options. Let's lead it off with Ari in Valley Cottage. What's up, Ari?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Tough day to be a Mets fan, but I always think about how it could be worse, and I could root for your other teams, Evan. So
I said that yesterday at the end of the Rico. I said, listen, at least if you root for the Giants and Knicks, there's a little bit more hope, specifically
right.
The Knicks.
And Ari, thank God the Jets didn't play, for Evan's sake.
I know.
He might have had a heart attack.
That would have killed me.
Yeah, I can't wait to listen tomorrow at 4 to see what Domingo has to say. But anyway, I love your recommendations for the coaching changes. I totally agree with you. Something has to change there. I mean, this season can be put into, you know, a tale of two seasons, you know, before and after June 13th. Before that, our starting pitching and relief pitching was number one. And after that, we were, I think, 27th in the league, and our record shows for that. You know, looking down our offense, I mean, Pete Alonso and Juan Soto could have had the top, two of the top 10 best seasons as a Met, you know, in the franchise. But how, with those two statistical records, you know, the team couldn't hit with scoring position and get into the playoffs is beyond me. And kind of what happened yesterday with Pete makes me think that there's something going on in the locker room. I mean, comparing
what do you mean what he said? How he described opting out?
I think just immediately opting out in the post-game interview, we all knew he was. But the way he said it and how quickly he said it, it's like he couldn't wait to get that off his chest.
Yeah, but let's...
Edwin Diaz did.
Yeah. Edwin, you're right. Edwin handled it better.
Edwin said, I will talk to my family.
Right, and then we'll make a decision. He's basically kicking it down the line so when it's not a hot story. Just as you should. You're just knocked out of the playoffs. People are hot-headed already. I think the difference with Pete, and you have to have had conversations with Pete and understand Pete's mind to get why he announced it. He was asked the question.
What's he supposed to do?
Exactly. And Pete's not going to wordsmith you to get around it. He's just going to answer.
Well, I think of
straightforward that way.
I think of two other people who, when their season just ended, was asked the same question and was very blunt about their future. And those two guys are Gerrit Cole, who ended up signing with the Yankees,
right,
and Juan Soto, who ended up signing with the Mets. Now, what does Alonso, Cole, and Soto all have in common? Does anybody want to guess? You want to guess? You want to guess, Sean? Raise your hand.
Highest paid at their position?
No.
Scott Boras is their agent?
Bing, bang, bang.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Scott Boras.
The man who shall not be named.
Scott Boras is ruthless. And I think that Pete Alonso was told, if you are asked, you make it very clear. Right. And he's not saying it to intimidate me or intimidate Met fans. He's saying it to send a message to the owner.
We're not in contract hibernation.
And the man from Milwaukee. He wants to get paid.
Right.
And the Alonso thing is going to be talked about a lot. It is so simple. It is so freaking simple, yet so complicated. He wants to get paid. He felt like last year, the negotiations, not just from the Mets, but everyone else, was unfair to him. He wants to get paid.
Part of that was his agent's fault.
It doesn't matter.
Be fair.
Batique, it doesn't matter who's right or wrong.
I agree.
This is what he thinks.
This is, of course.
And that's why he's just going to tell you, yeah, I'm opting out.
He also has to realize part of it was his agent's fault.
Yeah.
But that is what it is.
A part of it was Alonso having a bad year's fault. A part of it was having the pick attachment. Like, there were a lot of things that led to it.
Yeah.
But the guy wants to get paid. And what I would advise every Met fan to do is don't read too much into him saying, yeah.
Because that's just him answering the question.
It's a Borussian way of answering the question.
All right.
Let's go to Zach and Paramus. Hey, Zach.
What's going on, Evan? Tiki, what's going on today?
All's good. What's up, dude?
What's up?
All offseason, we heard from Met fans. We took Soto from you. We heard Tommy call us little brother. We heard everything all from December. But every year, Evan, we all need to come back to reality. It's just the same. Oh, Mets.
I have to take it. And there's no response.
Bunch of bitches.
There's no response until the Mets can offer a response.
Yes.
There's no response until the Mets do something to change this. This is who they are. This is who we are. And Met fans, get used to it. I had a talk with my son as he went to school today. He's like, what do I say to Yankee fans? I said, there's nothing you can say.
Mets suck.
There's nothing you can say. Own it. We do suck. We did choke. We did talk a lot of trash. And with talking trash comes with getting punched in the face. I wasn't mad at Sean for going on Twitter last night with all his drafts that he had written for the last 2 months. Let me make fun of the Bronx race at Citi Field. You and Keith did the same thing. What, do you share a brain?
I mean, it was easy to tell. I mean, you couldn't have that draft win one race all year.
Yeah, I could have just won one. Just one?
Let's go to Mike in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All's good.
I love you guys, but I got to disagree here. I think Mendy 10,000,000% has to go, and I'm going to tell you why.
Go.
Okay? All right. He walked in to what was a ready-to-go team, which is the first mistake by the owner because he put the general manager in charge of getting someone else for a ready-to-go team when he already had a ready-to-go manager, but that's a different story. Mendy, people forget, this team was horrific all the way until what? Let's be realistic. Let's say July, until Lindor woke up and Lindor carried that team. They won in spite of Mendoza's horrible move.
I can't say that. I think you're wrong about last year. And it's easy to do this when we're pissed off. We kind of imagine what a previous season was.
Yeah.
That's like me. I've been so tough on Brian Daboll. I've been so tough on him. That would be like me saying to Tiki, you know, 2022, they won despite him. Like, no, that's not true.
No.
Like, you can rip Mendoza just like I can rip Daboll while also acknowledging that their first year was awesome.
Of course it was. I mean, it probably set them back because they tried to win now with a flawed roster. But, I mean, we can get into it later. But it almost feels like you want to give a guy credit, understanding that he did it in spite of the circumstances. And then when those circumstances come back to bite you, in the case of the Mets, it's, your rotation actually wasn't that solid. They just outperformed themselves early in the season. The stars on this team just went through massive individual slumps at the wrong times and couldn't hit with runners in scoring positions when all you needed to win was one or two of those games in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
One of those 162s, and you're not having this problem against the Reds. So, the circumstances catch up to you and hit you in different ways In one case, it makes you feel really good about the leader of the team. In another case, it makes you hate him.
I also believe that when you fire a manager who's had success, there needs to be a few things you do before you do it. So I'll go back into Met history, and now Tiki can't lecture me. History doesn't matter, considering this Met team repeated history. So history means everything. Before the Mets fired Bobby Valentine, they took all his coaches away.
Yeah.
Before they fired him, they cut his you-know-whats off. That's what I would do. What I would do right now is I'm changing the coaching staff. I'm making changes with an eye on, if this doesn't turn around, I got no issue making a managerial change in the middle of 26. Bobby and Mattawan. Hey, Bobby.
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
I would say one thing to the Mendy thing. That one game when, I don't know, they needed a run and they had, I don't know if it was Alvarez, somebody hit that double. And I'm on my couch and I'm saying, put in a pinch runner. And he didn't do it. And that was the one thing where
Bobby,
you said he really messed up.
Bobby, there's a lot of that. And I'm telling you right now, for your own mental sake, if we do this with every game the Mets lost this year, you're going to lose your mind. There are a ton of games where if this is different, if that is different, if he does this, if I do that, the whole season's different. You can't do it over 162.
No, there's too many moments, too many games that were lost because of whatever, anybody's decision or somebody's lack of performance.
You know, I've said a lot of things about the Mets. You've said a lot of things about the Mets. I want to play you guys something that maybe you didn't hear because you were so disgusted by the end of the Met game, and that is the great Gary Cohen. Last night, or yesterday, late afternoon, as the Mets were losing the game on the Francisco Lindor double play, we already knew the Reds lost. Gary Cohen, who I think is so good when he wants to be. When he wants to be honest, he's the best. Like last year, when Lindor hit the home run and the Mets get one game 161, how eloquent and accurate was he when he said from 0-5 to OMG? I want every single person to listen to Francisco Lindor's double play and Gary Cohen's calls describing the end of the Mets season, and I ask you to spot the lie. It could not be described more accurately than Gary Cohen.
And the Mets agonizing 3.5 month slow motion collapse is complete.
Slow motion collapse is complete. He lets the crowd cheer for 9.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
10 seconds, and then he adds this.
It is unfathomable that this collection of talent winds up outside of an expanded playoff system after having the best record in baseball for the first 2.5 months of the season. Everything goes wrong over the last 3.5 months, and the Mets find themselves on the outside looking in.
Thank you for accurately describing it. Unfathomable. In a Manfred blown-up playoff system, it is unexplainable that a collection of high-priced talent could have that happen. Thank you, Gary Cohen.
Yes, he's absolutely right as well, because it doesn't make any sense.
None. Now, there is a question that has been burning for a long time now, and I need the answer. And I'm not the only one that needs the answer. We all need the answer. Yesterday, a part of me died watching the Mets season end. But the question is, did yesterday kill Positive Tommy?
Positive Tommy.
We will get that answer next. The first start in the career of Jackson Dart, and more than that, an incredible Giant victory against the once undefeated Los Angeles Chargers. We'll get into it in a few minutes. But my good friend Positive Tommy took a hit yesterday because all that positivity got flushed down the toilet as the Mets proved that they are just like 07 and just like 08, and nothing changes. So, my man, how you feeling today? Is Positive Tommy officially dead?
Positive Tommy is not officially dead. I will say this. I have to be fair. Positive Tommy took a hit this year. And I will admit that the power of positivity did not work this year. But what would I be if I just abandoned it, especially what I would say is the Mets' darkest hour? That's where I think you need the positivity more than ever, because everybody today is feeling down. And they're hearing from their Yankee fan friends, and they're hearing from their Met fan friends, and they're hearing from Reds fans and Braves fans. And everybody is being hyperbolic about the Mets and their finish and all that stuff. I think more than ever, the power of positivity is needed. Now, I'll say this. In this offseason today, I will be fair about what happened this season. I will not try to spin. I will give
you. Was this season a failure?
Yes.
Mm. Was this season a disaster?
It is unacceptable that we're sitting here right now and the Mets are not in the
postseason. Was this season a disaster?
Yes.
Okay. Was this season embarrassing? These are easy questions,
yes.
Bro.
They're all kind of yes.
Yeah, no,
Thank you. It was embarrassing.
All right. Yeah.
All right, very good. I'm glad to hear
Can I give you one quick change that I would do with the roster?
Oh, of course.
Immediately.
Yes.
And I've been consistent with this. The slam the helmet, slam the bat, negative vibes, Debbie Downer, future golf pro, Jeff McNeil needs to go.
There you go.
Enough.
He's back. That's the real Tommy
No, that, well, no, that's positive Tommy.
That's keeping it real Tommy.
That's keeping it real Tommy.
Negative. I said I would be fair here. I would be fair.
I just remember this about positivity, negativity, and this is really important for the Met offseason, and this is how political parties fail each other. They lose an election, and they all have like an autopsy to figure out why they went wrong, and they don't have honest conversations about what went wrong.
They lie.
They lie to themselves. Yes. And then 4 years later or 2 years later during midterms, they lose again, and they wonder why. It is very important for Met leadership, and certainly we as fans on talk radio or on podcasts or on social media, we got to be honest. It's not about being positive or negative. It's about being honest.
Yep.
I never felt this season in the last 2 weeks when I didn't think they were a playoff team. I didn't think I was negative. I felt like I was reacting to what I was seeing. They were a bad team for 3 months.
Right.
So I have any issue with anyone who says, well, you're being negative. I wasn't being negative. I was calling it like it is. So it's very important for the New York Mets and for us to just be honest about what happened and what needs to change. That's important because when you ignore it, you're deemed to repeat it again and again and again.
Yeah. And I think we hit this briefly, but the biggest issue, I don't know if we even hit it, but what we talked about this, the biggest issue was waiting on Nolan McLean.
That could be the biggest mistake David made. You're right. The man from Milwaukee.
Because you saw it. And I understand that the farm system is fantastic for the Mets. They have prospects that just feel they're bubbling and ready to come up. And the longer they're down there, the better off they're going to be. But in mid-July, mid to late July, it was a clear problem starting to develop with the starting rotation. You could feel it. And when Frankie Montas is now done, Sean Manaea is struggling, Kodai Senga can't, you know, get through 3-4 innings, Clay Holmes, as good as the start was, he was capped basically at 5 innings. There was clearly something awry that needed to be fixed. And you didn't do anything at the trade deadline other than go get rental relief arms.
Look, here's to back up your point, all right? On July 6th against the Yankees, they started Chris Devensky. On Saturday against the Yankees, they started Frankie Montas. The day before, they started Justin Hagenman. 5 days later, they started Brandon Waddell. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
You nailed it right there.
And Nolan McLean was down in the minors, and I know he's in the minors. It is what it is. But he was balling.
I think one of the many issues that the man from Milwaukee and mistakes he made this year was exactly that.
Because all he had to do, let's face it, you hate to do this in a postmortem, was win one of those freaking games.
You're right.
Just one.
No, you're right. And so when you lose to the Orioles with Brandon Waddell on the mound, you wonder, well, if Nolan McLean makes that start, do you win?
Mm-hmm.
And is everything different? Steve in Brooklyn. Hey, Steve.
Guys, you are hitting on all cylinders today. It's great to watch. It's very therapeutic. First and foremost, Evan Barossian. I jumped out of my car listening to it. What a term! I turned to my brother when Pete announced it. I'm like, Scott Boras is his agent. Of course he's going to say that. What are you getting upset about? That's what Boras does. The one thing there are two things that you said today that I don't agree with. First and foremost, going back, and you're doing it right now. You actually said you can't do it, and you're doing it right now.
What?
if we win one more game and you analyze, well, we had Hageman starting, we had Devansky starting, the man from Milwaukee killed us this year not pulling the trigger. He did because...
No, you're right. Again, I did exactly way, that, what I said
but,
I wouldn't
but
do.
But that's not even Evan. That's just me. Because if I look back at what the issue was for the Mets, it was the pitching, starting pitching. I know individually or collectively as a lineup, they didn't hit. They didn't hit with runners in scoring positions. They had a 40-40 season. They had a 30-30 season. Pete Alonso was amazing, obviously, for a lot of this year. But collectively, they didn't hit. But the big issue was the pitching.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying this to go say if Nolan McClain was pitching on July 23rd, that they would have won XYZ game. I don't even know if that's a real game that they lost, but it doesn't matter. You get the point. My point was it was easy to identify what the issue was with the Mets.
That's it.
It was easy.
Why?
We all knew it. Mets fans knew.
And David Stern's going to meet the media in less than an hour, and we'll play the important stuff right here on The Fan. Why August 16th, David? Why August 16th? That's when he called up Nolan McClain. And I'm not saying he should have known that he was going to be, 6-1, 5-1 with an ERA of 1.7.
Right.
But considering the desperation they were in and the way he was pitching after being promoted from AA to AAA, why did you wait until August 16th?
Oh, I know why.
Well, it better not be rookie status, Teak.
Guess what? He's still a rookie.
Is he going to say that?
And if he's great and wins Rookie of the Year next year, guess what you get in 2027?
It's not worth missing the playoffs over.
Exactly.
That would be my answer to that.
Especially when you have a team with a ridiculous payroll that's ready-ish, because your pitching wasn't right, but still, it was ready, in theory, to win now.
Lee on Long Island. Lee.
Hey, Lee.
Hey, guys. How are you? You went from positive Tommy to pissed off negative Lee. Good for you. Nice. So, and I have a couple of quick points I want to make. Just let me get through them because I can't afford therapy and this is all I have.
Nice.
First off, really quick regarding the whole Nolan McClain thing and when he came up, that's a double-edged sword because they brought up Jonah Tong and he wasn't ready and you saw that. And you can say the rookie status doesn't mean anything now, but they didn't think they were going to miss the playoffs, which is why if they thought they were going to miss the playoffs, I don't think they would have waited, but you can also rush a pitcher and get much farther, set them back.
This
so,
is
like,
true.
I don't want to, like, I feel like
Lee,
this is Monday
Lee,
morning.
You're right about that, but the evidence shows that you're wrong about that.
No, and I know that, but I feel like we're doing it in retrospect.
Of course.
But here are the two quick points. First off, and you guys are going to talk about the 47 different pitchers that took the mound and the 0-for-70 after ninth, and you guys are going to beat the dead horse on those. I just want to take two points you guys might not touch on. First thing, this feels very DeGrom-esque in the fact that they are wasting the prime years of Lindor and Pete, and it's aggravating the hell out of me. I hate to see that because I feel like by the time this window, as they get, they're over 30 now, and as they get older and older, that window gets shorter and shorter for those guys, and we don't have the young bodies to replace them right away. So I'm a little nervous about that. And the second point I want to make is, and this is what's making me my brain tingle. They have to next year. The players in that locker room go to the calendar, go to the schedule, and circle every Marlins game on that schedule because this is a team that knocks them out every year, and they pick a fight. They set their pitching schedule around taking the Mets out this last series, and they are sitting there and they are poking you in the chest every year. They look forward to beating you, and if you don't go to war with them, you should be treating them the way you treat the Phillies and the way you treat the Braves because they are picking a fight with you, and you are getting beat by them, and it is embarrassing. They got embarrassed this weekend.
Amen. Well said. Very well said. It's very difficult to know when a kid is ready. Nolan McClain made 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 4. I think I got 18 starts at AAA. Jonah Tong made 2. When a guy is ready is a very tough call.
Yeah.
But they were so desperate that you look back and say, why wouldn't you make the call a little bit earlier? Toll-free numbers 888-808-1019. Now, big announcement. Very excited about this. This is all Tiki Barber. I would have never been able to pull this off.
Thank you.
Thank Tomorrow you. At 6:08, the New York Yankees, the big brother in town, the one team actually qualifying for the Major League postseason, they're going to start their series against the Boston Red Sox. We are getting you in the building. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, a chance to win tickets to see the Yankees against the Red Sox.
Yankees, Red Sox, the playoffs. Enough said. That's in a 5 o'clock hour. Tiki Barber secured them, and we're going to give you a chance to win them, and we'll smarten you up as we get closer to five. There will be a sound we play, and that sound will be your signal to call.
I don't always brag about who I know and what I do for people. I just kind of let it happen. But I went to bat for you all. You all. I forced the architect, forced Ryan, forced our CEO even to okay this for you all.
Damn right.
You're the 5 man. O'clock.
Damn right.
Man. How much did you put away for me?
You can sit in the booth with us.
Awesome.
The answer is zero, bro.
None.
But for the people out there, you're cracking the 5 o'clock hour. When we come back, we'll continue to talk with Met fans, but we have to address the star that may have been born yesterday afternoon. The Giants won a game, and Jackson Dart won your hearts. Our thoughts next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.